Praise and thanks be to our Lord, that He has let His light shine on us in these days, and that He has enlightened us through His good Holy Spirit and led us into His Word. We are so grateful that we can be here again to worship, to read His Word, to listen together to what He has to say to us. Before we pray, I would like to read a word from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 4, where Moses speaks to the people of God, or God speaks through Moses to His people. And here it says, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land, I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We all know that God spoke to his people Israel in a mighty way and brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and then gave them his servant and prophet, and taught them everything he wanted to teach them. I believe it is like a parallel for our day and for our time. We too have been called out of all churches, denominations, and wherever else we have been, and he has made us his inheritance. We are his, and I think the same is true for us, that we want to contemplate all the time the speaking of God, what God has given in our days for his people, for his chosen ones in this time. We see that in those days it was Moses who had to tell his people everything. In our day, God had his servant and prophet and his messenger, and we are so grateful that we want to pay attention to all this, and may God grant us grace that we do not take everything so lightly, but that we heed all that God has spoken in our days. We see that in those days it came down to this, and Moses had to say, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you." And this we don't want, beloved. But he has also made a covenant with us in these days, and we do not want to forget what God has done for us, dear brothers and sisters. And we want to tell our children and everyone we can what God has done, even in our day, and what he is still doing, because he is still at work, and we are so happy and so grateful for that. We also do not want to add anything to his words or take anything away, as it is written in the New Testament in Revelation 22, verse 18, as John expressed it, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This is the word of our Lord, and we want to heed it. Men may add to it and take away from it. God forbid that we should add to it or take away from it. But what God has spoken remains and is valid. And for this we are glad and grateful and want to offer him now honor and praise and worship. Let us stand up and ask for his blessing together. Faithful God, we thank you from the depths of our hearts that we may be here again this evening. There is still grace. You have carried us to this hour as on eagle's wings. Lord, we remember the covenant that you have also made with us. Lord, what good would it do us if we only saw what once happened, if we did not see what has happened in our days, O Lord? Give us grace, O Lord, that we may cling to what you have spoken, Lord, and that we may add nothing to it and take nothing away from it, but let it stand, O Lord. For what you have spoken is true and righteous. Hallelujah. We give you the honor and ask you to take away from us tonight everything that can disturb you, everything that can hinder you, everything that stands in the way of your spirit in my life or in all our lives, Lord. Take everything away, Lord, so that we may praise your name with our mouths and offer you honor and praise, Lord. For you are worthy to be praised, honored, and worshipped, Lord. Receive the honor, receive the praise, Lord. Bless with us all your people, your children in all places, and those who cannot be here tonight, Lord. Give grace, O God, and help us all. And we ask you, faithful God, to continue to speak to us through your precious and holy word. Bless your messenger, our brother, O God, and give grace and strength to speak and to listen, Lord. Lord, we want to open our hearts and want to receive and be grateful for it. Worship to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the great privilege of being here. I hope it is a great privilege for us. Praise and thanks be to our God. It is the best time of our lives when we can be under the sound of the Word of God. If a believer feels better anywhere than in a church service, then he should be told that he is not yet a believer. That's how it is. The greatest feast on earth, whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we may participate in, cannot be compared to the hours spent in the presence of God. That's just the way it is. And especially when you've traveled through Germany and Austria and Italy and Switzerland, as I have now, you see a lot. You see marvelous places. A songwriter also sings, "The world is beautiful and big." And yet, a hot desire pulls me far from the earth. That's the way it is. The upward pull is here. A warm welcome to you all. Many of you are back from your holidays. Some are on night shift. Others are here. Others can't be here. In any case, we are glad that we can be here to thank God together and to hear the word and rejoice in it. When we sang, God's Spirit works once more, I thought that was true. And when we then sang, God's Spirit is working in me now, my heart began to pound. I just had to ask, Lord, is that true right now? And I tell you, if it's not true in one moment, it can be true in the next. We sing it in faith, and we sing it in defiance of the devil. Even if it wouldn't be so right now, it will be so, because God said so. Faith sometimes does things that run counter to reason. There are all sorts of adversities, and suddenly you are singing a chorus, it is well with my soul. And when everything is stormy and things almost collapse, and somehow you become quiet in the presence of God, it seems as if you can place yourself like Elijah or Moses back then into the cleft of the rock and watch the storm pass by, tearing everything apart, and you still remain secure in your trust in the living God. That doesn't mean that storms don't come. They do come. But to those who trust God, he says, stand there in that cleft of the rock, and then we will be safe. Then we will see the Lord pass by in his glory. I have a letter here with me, a letter from our beloved sister, whom we all know for the most part. She moved away from here at the time. But you can read the letter of despair. People have made decisions under certain circumstances and through influence that they regret and can't cope with. If the woman were to go home like this in her old age, she would still be crying out in despair on her deathbed. We really want to take it to heart and pray sincerely that all those who have been carried away and who have come under the wrong influence, and the wrong influence can be recognized by the fact that hatred and everything that goes with it is revealed. Where God is, there is love, peace, forgiveness, salvation, and blessing. Things cannot be confused there. It is not what one declares something to be, but the thing itself that reveals itself testifies to what it is. And a person who is born of God, who has experienced God, must have the nature of Jesus. The new birth must have brought divine life into our soul. If this is not the case, then we are deceiving ourselves. And we all know what kind of hatred and what kind of things have been revealed that could make us fearful even today. And we cringe at how it is possible that the enemy can claim such a right over people. But it is also written that if it goes wrong with a believer, then it will be seven times worse. And then you can talk better with seven unbelievers than with one believer. But if God is gracious to us, we will not judge anyone. We will not put ourselves above anyone, but we will submit under everyone, and especially under the hand of God, and say, Lord, we too have failed. We too have become guilty, but we bow before you and stand in the breach. I will give this letter to the brothers to read afterwards. And together we will discuss what could or can be done. But it only shows us what kind of trouble people get into whose conscience is not yet dead. Some have crossed the line. The Spirit of God no longer admonishes them. He no longer convicts them because they have gone too far. But all those who still seek a connection to God are admonished by the Spirit of God. And then comes the inner realization, the conviction of what was not right before God. But there is still time. We can still make everything right. But when it is too late, then no more realization, no more calling, then nothing is of any use. Now that the time of grace lasts, everyone should try to put right what the Lord's finger is on. If only it is possible, if only it can be done. We have read the word to break the strength of Israel, to transgress the commandment of God, to bring down the wrath of God on his people. This Balaam was a very bad man. He was a false prophet. He did say, "My eye is open," and he even spoke of the star that would rise in Jacob. He brought enough to make himself heard. And then came the other. Then the other thing came. God had said, I think we read part of it. Was it Deuteronomy 4? Where it also says that God had chosen the people out of all other peoples as his inheritance. And God had taken a special path with his people. There was to be no mixing under any circumstances, because they all served other gods as they wished. And God had chosen Israel to serve the one true God. And the Moabites come from Lot's union with his daughter. We all know the story, on which no blessing rested anyway. And now the transgression of the word of God, bringing a mixture among the people, and thus bringing down the wrath of God. And this Balaam, I almost gave him a bad name, is still mentioned in the New Testament, in Jude, as well as in Revelation 2, in verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. This has been taken over. It has simply been passed on, even in the New Testament. The only thing these people had in mind was to bring the people of God to transgress the word and thus to disobey, and through disobedience to rebel against God, so that His wrath could come upon them. True servants of God have always brought the people of God back to the Word. And in one sermon, Brother Branham says, how many Balaams are in the pulpits today? The people are being called to spiritual adultery and fornication. Everything is going the broad way. And the people do not know that Balaams are in the front, and they send everyone nicely into the World Council of Churches. Spiritual fornication and whoredom, and what remains, the wrath of God will fall upon everything. And therefore, the calling out and the emphasis on the Word of God in such a powerful way in our day. Just as there was a true prophet at that time who brought the true word, whereby the people were led out by signs and wonders, Moses saw the pillar of fire, Moses heard the voice of the Lord, Moses was the prophet whom God had called, commissioned, and sent. Who was Balaam? He did not even belong to the people of Israel. Suddenly he appeared. And what was it? God did not forgive these people because they had previously heard the true and clear message of God through the true prophet of God. They knew what was right and what was wrong. And after being enlightened by the Word of God, they ignored it and listened to this rascal, and none of them entered the land of promise. It is a marvelous thing to know that we have heard a prophetic message, something quite marvelous, and we are grateful to God for that. But to be in the shoes of those who listen to this one and that one, and all those who come along the way and have something nice to say, but which does not correspond to God's original message, we all did not want to be in their shoes. The responsibility of having heard the word is very great. And then, after hearing it and believing it, being led out and realizing all that God is now doing, and then someone comes along, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, if anyone comes along and preaches to you another gospel that we have not preached, another Christ whom we have not preached, and another spirit whom you have not received, then you put up with it. You can read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And what about these people? Once they have been enlightened, and then someone comes along, influences them, draws them away from the Word of God, and transgression starts, unbelief, rebellion against God, and the wrath of the Lord then comes upon everything. God wants us to become obedient, to walk in His ways as He has revealed them to us, in perfect obedience to His Word, and that we no longer lend our ears to the left or right in order to hear something. Anyone who still wants to hear any new message in these days has not yet understood the old message of God. Is that true? They have not yet understood the old message of God. Anyone who has truly understood God's speaking for this time through His Word and Spirit has come to rest in God. And they no longer need to run after things. They only need to wait until God does what He has promised. I had to think about it when it was read out. Times don't really change, but neither does God. God is faithful to His Word and to those who believe His Word with all their heart and serve Him, who are prepared to take everything upon themselves, but who will not abandon the Word under any circumstances. And we all want to belong to this group by grace. It will be necessary to trust the Lord, but to stick to His Word and not to any other spirit. What have you already heard in all these years, or heard in passing, or even directly? How many messengers have appeared? How many men have come with special revelations? And what was it? What was it all? Soap bubbles. They themselves were inflated, and there's nothing. What we want is God's holy, infallible, eternal Word of God. No mixing, but separation, because that is what God has ordained us for, to be separated. Just as Israel was separated from all nations, and God made it His own people, so the bride church has been taken out of all denominations. She has been set apart, not to mix again, but to remain separate, because that is what the word consecrated, sanctified means. As Brother Branham also says, set apart for service, ready to be at God's disposal. That is a true consecration before the face of God. Set apart, consecrated, to be at the Lord's disposal for service. Not for a great service worldwide. It can begin at home. It can be among us and with us all. Everyone can serve God wherever they are. That's what I wish for myself. That's what I wish for all of us. That we take good care that there is no mixing, that we keep the Word of God pure and holy, and do not allow ourselves to be influenced by anyone from the right or the left, but that we can go our way with God to the end by grace. God bless us all. We are grateful to God for all the words of encouragement and we rejoice that the Lord is still on the scene and that He is still doing everything He wants to do. We rejoice that people are still becoming believers, that they are still accepting God's salvation in our day. Isn't that a special joy? One soul is worth more than the whole world in the eyes of God. It may sometimes look so small in the eyes of people, but with God it is something very special, because He has loved us all so much. He has loved you and me and all of us, and we are very grateful that He is still at work. We are grateful for every word, for every testimony we hear. And so let us also tonight, after all we have come to worship, to lift up His name, to bring honor and praise to His name. If we don't do it, brothers and sisters, who will? After all, we are His people, the sheep of His hand. He has made us His people. He has spoken to us, as He did to His people in those days. Brothers and sisters, there is no difference. They were to enter the promised land, and we too are promised to enter it. And that is why there is no difference. And as my brother said, we only want to listen to the word of our God. The word of man is fleeting, and these special doctrines and special people who think they can bring something special, they can bring it to whomever they want. But the people of God can only be brought what God has spoken. That's the thing. And that's why we don't want to forget, as I said before, these sermons, this food, they are given to us, brothers and sisters, in the last days, that we can journey through this wilderness with the strength of this food, and that we remember all that God is doing and has done in our days. And for this we are very happy and very grateful that we can gather again and again. That made me very happy. Yes, it really is the most beautiful thing when God's children come together to honor and praise God. The world doesn't realize or understand it. People may not understand, and they may call us crazy, but we know in whom we believe. We know who has loved us. We know who has redeemed us. We know where we will be. That's the point. The certainty is given to us by Him, not by a man who has to take it back, but from Him. We have just read it in the one sermon. The doctors may say many things, and they may say, you won't have another child. But if God says, you will have another one, then one will come. That's the thing. Brothers and sisters, so let us be grateful. Let us worship Him with all our hearts tonight. Let us rise to it. Heavenly Father, we thank You together for Your precious and holy word, which we have heard again tonight, through which You have spoken to us. Grant us all grace, O Lord. Let us tremble, Lord, at the hearing of Your word, O God, that we may heed, Lord, what You have spoken to Your people in all ages, but also what You have spoken for our time, Lord. It is something special, O Lord. O Lord, we thank You for the covenant You have made with Your people, Lord. Let it endure, Lord, for all eternity. Help us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Give us grace, Lord, that we may humble ourselves, that we may submit to Your word in all things, Lord. Oh, what grace it is when people recognize what they have to do according to the Scriptures. Praise and thanks be to You. You are still the same, Lord. We thank You that You have saved, Lord, that You have blessed, Lord, and that You are still at work, O God. Worship to Your marvelous and holy name of Jesus. And especially we lay before You, Lord, those who are in need and those who are afflicted by the enemy. O Lord, You can deliver them. You can set them free, Lord. You have the power, Lord. You can give new courage, Lord, so that they do not give up, but that they lift up their eyes to you, Lord. Give grace to all, Lord. O Lord, you know every heart, and you know each one, even those, Lord, who have been taken by surprise by the enemy, Lord. You can bring them back, Lord, to the flock, and you can bless them from the riches of your grace. We worship you, Lord. With you all things are possible, Lord. Therefore we praise and glorify your wonderful name. Receive the honor and praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.